A Kind Voice Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. V. M. Mayfield, and I'm delighted to welcome you to A Kind Voice on Employment, Opportunity, and Innovation. Tonight, our topic is the game changers, or how individuals are transforming lives as part of their business.
Our guest tonight is Denise Serrata. She is the founder of One World Everybody Eats Foundation. As a graduate of Ohio State University and the International Institute of Chinese Medicine, she was inspired to start a community cafe concept in 2003. She's dedicated herself to the mission of ending hunger and building community. She's passionate about the pay what you can model, where everybody, regardless of their financial means, can find a place at the table or an event. Welcome, Denise.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here on this eve of the eve of Thanksgiving.
There you go. And perfect evening for talking about, because while this is a time of thankfulness for many individuals, for a lot of other individuals, this is a time where they're hungry. What is going on with hunger in America? What are you familiar with? What do you know?
Well, you know, there seems to be an increase in what we call food insecurity. And really, the definition is someone who doesn't know where their next meal is coming from or is forced to get food in socially unacceptable ways, which unfortunately, you know, a soup kitchen and a food pantry are really not socially acceptable. So there are statistics up to, in some communities, 33% of the people in that community are food insecure, or basically another statistic is 1 out of 5.
Well, that is pretty significant. So what are we doing in the country about hunger? What are some things that, some ways we've tried to address it or end it?
Well, I think there's a lot of awareness, even more awareness, that's starting about food insecurity. And it's just not the homeless person on the street. You know, it's someone, you know, in your neighborhood that at work or on Social Security and so on and so forth. So, but what we're doing at One World Everybody Eats in particular are mentoring people to open what we call community cafes. And those are price your own, usually choose your own portion cafe. So everyone can eat regardless of their means.
Is this like a buffet style? Do people just kind of go through a line and pick their own plate? How does it work?
They're all different ways, and there's no right way or one way to do it. But a lot of them are do make food and line it up in a buffet, but they serve you in the exact portion that you'd like. And some are more like fine dining with table service.
And what kind of cafe did you personally start in? And I think it was 2003?
I started in 2003. I started an organic, locally sourced cafe that we set up. We didn't have a menu, and we didn't have any set prices, but we set it up like a buffet so you could see the food when you came in, and we could show you the hot food, and then you could tell us what you wanted in the amounts that you wanted. So not only, you know, could everyone eat, we're also eliminating waste in the food service industry.
Nice. Tell me, where did you get this idea for a community cafe?
You know, the idea really came to me. I kind of laughed. It was a good thing that I saw Field of Dreams so many times. So when I had my own Field of Dreams experience in 2003, and I decided to go to donation and let people price their own food. And I didn't even realize at the time that no one had done something like this before. And when I did find that out, I was very surprised.
Well, you say you had a Field of Dreams experience. What was that like? What was that?
Well, I had been an acupuncturist, and I realized I just felt intuitively in order to grow, I needed to close my clinic and do something else. So I took a big leap by closing my clinic, and by default, I just went into this small cafe I had put up because I thought a lot of people weren't really sick, they were lonely. So I wanted to add another dimension to my practice. Anyways, I went in there and started cooking and serving, and a couple months into it, I just had this big energy come over me, got my attention, and I just kind of felt or heard with my intuitive ears, go to donation, let people price their own food. And so the next person that walked through the door, I did. I was like a little bit shell-shocked, but I was like, no more pricing, just price your own. That moment, I really felt my heart expand, and I realized, aha, this is what I'm supposed to be doing next.
Wow. Well, tell me a little bit about your background. You say you were an acupuncturist. Have you had any prior experience in the food industry, or kind of, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself personally. If you'll back up a little bit, what was your life before you decided to open this particular business?
Well, I was born and raised in Canton, Ohio, and I went to Ohio State, and I studied engineering for about 3.5 years, and then I got a little bored, and I switched to art, which was a little more challenging, and ended up getting a BFA. And then I moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and ended up going to massage school, and then oriental medicine school, and I was an acupuncturist, moved to Salt Lake City and opened a clinic. But I feel like I've always been, allowed myself to follow my passion and to be, I think, more spiritually guided. And so I haven't been totally afraid to reinvent myself or take a leap. And that's been a big key for listening and following spirit. But the interesting thing is that years ago, probably in the 90s, when I lived in Taos for a short, a woman, Barbara read my astrological chart or numerology. I can't even remember, but I do remember her saying, honey, there's something in your future about food, and it's huge. Are you sure you don't want to cook or do anything like that? And I was like, heck no. Promptly forgot it. But fast forward maybe 15 years when I was in the One World Cafe and I had that Field of Dreams moment, that woman's words came back to me. And that was part of realizing, oh my gosh, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Wow, that's an incredible story. So how in what ways are you working to help eliminate hunger through this particular organization?
Well, we believe that by mentoring other people in different communities and helping them establish community cafes, that is really our highest good. But we believe that these venues really build community. And once people know each other, they don't want each other to suffer or go hungry or go without a job or whatever. So in the bigger picture for us, it's really about building community. And we're doing it through food because we believe, you know, in food justice, that everybody should be able to eat really good food in community in a beautiful, you know, restaurant situation if they would like.
Well, talk a little bit about how you build community in a restaurant.
I know.
Rather strategic part of that. So what are some ways that you strategically build community?
Mm-hmm. Well, once the venue is up, a lot happens just because of that. But most community cafes, we don't seat buddy. And they usually have a community table. So, and the way the food is served, and you just see people opening up and talking to each other. And also, you see people that might not normally get a chance to meet side by side in the cafe. If you think about it, a restaurant can very well be like a caste system. If you financially don't have the money to eat in a certain restaurant, you can't walk through their doors. But everyone is welcome and can walk through the doors of One World Cafe or any community cafe. You can volunteer and earn a meal. You could pay a suggested price. You could pay a little less, or you could pay a little more. So that's how, we see community being built. We don't really have a structure for that, but we see it happening all the time. People having conversations about the food, meeting, talking, feeling relaxed, feeling open enough to say, hey, can I sit with you? Where in most restaurants, you would never do that.
Oh, that's very interesting. I'd like to talk with you a little bit more about this notion of building community and where you go from here in terms of building community. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. We're talking with Denise Serrata of One World Everybody Eats.
A kind voice is a call-in line that lives upstream from depression hotlines. You don't need to be experiencing a crisis to call us. Our volunteers take calls on a book you read, a movie or game you saw, or just about anything you'd like to discuss. Call 800-876-2399 to speak with a kind voice. Our volunteers aren't professional counselors. They're kind voices who are here for you. Call 800-876-2399 or visit us at akindvoice.org.
Here's some snippets of some of the other wonderful programs you'll hear on A Kind Voice Radio.
Ah, good evening. Welcome. Welcome again to this week's episode of A Kind Voice Radio. You are listening to the Good News Show. I'm your host, Dean Buchanan. This is A Kind Voice on Good News, where all news is good news all of the time. No negative news here.
A biography or a long mystery, a picture book filled with history. Was it a fiction book or one that helps you to cook? Call us now, we'll talk about your book.
Good evening, and welcome to A Kind Voice on Books. I'm your host, Eden Blackwell. I would just like to share some facts about libraries and the great service they provide. You know, they're such a vital part of our communities.
Call us now, let's talk about your book.
Welcome to another episode of A Kind Voice on Movies. I'm your host for the evening, Zenobia Elise. We've got an exciting program planned for you tonight. So with that being said, let's go to the movies.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to A Kind Voice on Sports. This is your host, Demetrius Means. And, folks, I've got a good show for you this evening.
Good evening. This is Dr. V.M. Mayfield, and I'm delighted to welcome you to A Kind Voice on Employment, Opportunity, and Innovation. Tonight, our topic is the game changers, or how individuals are transforming lives as part of their business.
Lots of ways to lend your kind voice and positive energy to our program. You can volunteer on a call-in line. You can participate in any of our radio programs. You can help sponsor our program. Or, if you have a kind voice and a song in your heart, you can create a song that we might play on the radio.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. Ann Mayfield. If you just joined us, we're talking with Denise Serrata of One World Everybody Eats, an organization that has established community cafes where people pay whatever price they can afford. Welcome back, Denise. We've been talking about the good in community when I left, and I'm really intrigued by this concept because so many organizations are trying to bring people together around some common purpose and help people feel a sense of belonging. And it seems that your particular concept is really conducive to that model. So what I heard you saying before the break is that you have a diverse number of individuals that come together, that begin talking together. Are there specific kinds of activities that occur at a community cafe as well? And tell me how where do you go with this building of a sense of community? What have you seen as a result of people coming together around as a community?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen people meet and make friends, and especially there's different kinds of volunteers. Some people volunteer at a community cafe to earn a voucher for a meal, and some volunteer because they just love the concept. But when people are volunteering side by side, they tend to meet and make friends, and so that's one way. I also, many of the cafes have a community garden, and so a lot of people get together and plan the garden or work in the garden. And that's really conducive to meeting people. So I see, you know, and just people just start talking and have needs. Oh, I need someone, you know, to babysit or work on my car, or how did you make that recipe? Or, so I see a lot of things like that happening.
Neat. This notion of the community garden, talk about that and how that works, please.
Mm-hmm. Well, many of the cafes have a plot donated or something associated with their cafe so they can grow their own food. And that's really great to have fresh food. Plus it really helps keep the cost down in the cafe. And then a lot of cafes are partner with their local farmers and are sometimes a drop-off for a CSA.
And what is CSA?
A community-sponsored agriculture, where a lot of people, they'll pay the farmer up front, and then during the growing season, every week they'll get a box of food. And that tends to really work out well because there's some weekends people can't pick up their food and they always feel bad because that food is wasted. But because the drop-offs at the cafe, if they can't food, they know that it's donated and used at the cafe.
Okay.
So that works really well. But there's something about just working in a garden. People can volunteer and earn meals by working in the community garden and just seeing where their food comes from. And just being in the garden when it's really special.
Now, are the community cafes primarily located in rural or urban areas, how do you choose or select where a community cafe would be located?
Mm-hmm. Well, our organization doesn't solicit cafes, but people call us. But they are actually in big cities, and they're in cities as small as Elwood, Michigan, which has 400 people. So they will truly work anywhere. We're convinced.
And what is the model exactly? Do they go out and lease a space, or are there certain regulations that they have to adhere to? How does this model work at a very logistical level?
Mm-hmm. The model can, a community cafe can be run as a for-profit or a non-profit. Most have chosen to be a non-profit, and then most have chosen to lease a space like a restaurant would. And so you go through the health department, and you really, it's like if you think of it, it's like a restaurant with extra ways that people can eat. And some have partnered with the church. A lot of churches have underutilized kitchens, and they create a cafe there. And maybe they're open, you know, 2 or 3 days a week. Some are doing what's called a pop-up. So they may, you know, it takes a lot of time and energy and money to really get it together to make a cafe really come, you know, come to fruition. So some do a pop-up, so which means maybe once a month they go into a space that maybe a restaurant is closed on Mondays, and they create a community cafe there just to, you know, get something started. So there's many ways to do it.
So realistically, what are we talking about in terms of a time frame from conception to actually realization of this particular community cafe model?
I would think on average for the passionate visionary to really want to bring this to their community, build a team of people that also are interested in helping, I would say 12 to 18 months is average for a successful cafe.
And what sort of support does the main one world everybody eats, what sort of support do they offer to individuals who are interested in opening a community cafe?
Right. We offer various kinds of support and mentoring. One is we hold a national summit every year, which is free to attend, and it's in a different city. It's over Martin Luther King weekend. This year it'll be in January in Austin. And that is a great place to meet. We have all sorts of courses and all sorts of networking. There will be people there that have opened cafes, mentoring people that are in the planning stages or just in the thinking stages. And then via email, we have a lot of material that we send people, from IRS paperwork to business plans to volunteer forms and so on and so forth. And this year we'll be, for open cafes, we'll be giving out some grants, some fresh food grants, probably in February or March. And we also go out, depending, different board members on location to help people with the community meeting, to help people with picking out a location, and to help people when they're actually open.
Well, what about government funding? Do you encourage that, or is that even available? What are some ways that people begin to fund a project of this nature?
Right. I think some cafes have gotten a few grants after they open, and we encourage everything, but what we tend to encourage most, because we believe in nonprofits that are sustainable, and these community cafes, once they're open, are sustainable venues, we encourage more of a grassroots funding, and whether it's fundraisers or matching funds or bake sales or however, but we encourage people to be more grassroots, and we also encourage people to open their doors owing nothing to help ensure the success of their community cafe. But everything's available out there.
And so what are we talking about in terms of an investment? How much money typically is needed to open a community cafe?
You know, it's really different based on obviously where you live in the world or in our country and what type of scale you want to open. Do you want to maybe partner with a church, be open a couple of days a week or even 5 to your rent? What's your cost? Do you want a storefront maybe downtown? And the
capacity? Do you want to seat 20 people, 80 people, you know, 120 people? It's just really different. Does your space already have a kitchen? Do you need to build in a kitchen? So wherever you are, you have to do the groundwork. You have to see what kind of space do we want? What's an average, you know, price for that space? And then how are we going to cover our costs? A lot with restaurants is how many people does it seat? How many turnovers can you have? You know, what, if let's say for simplicity, your rent's, $1,000 a day. This is a ridiculous model, but $1,000 a day, but you can only seat 5 people at a time. Well, that's not going to work. So you have to do the math as best you can to figure that out. But most cafes don't launch until they have usually $20,000 to $50,000.
Okay. Well, that's quite a bit of fundraising. I'd be interested to hear some folks have been able to raise that, and that'll be our question when we return from this next break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Hi, this is Bruce Grammel. I wrote my song, The Alchemy of Kindness, after I became familiar with the organization called A Kind Voice. A Kind Voice is a community of volunteers that provide the opportunity for conversation on a variety of topics. The title is one of their slogans, and the phrase really hits home with me. I hope that you'll enjoy my song, and whether you may be a caller or a future volunteer, I hope you'll take the time to find out more about the wonderful folks at A Kind Voice. The alchemy of kindness is one that we believe. When we reach out to each other, you know we both receive. We're always here for you, we're right beside the phone. When kind voices come together, it seems we're never alone. So if you're reaching out, you know we're reaching too. Pick up the phone, that's all you have to do. Call us now if you need a kind voice. If you need a kind voice. If you've got some good news you heard the other day. Maybe you read a good book you finished yesterday.
Hi, this is Dr. V.M. Mayfield. Welcome back to A Kind Voice on Employment, Opportunity, and Innovation. Today we're talking with Denise Serrata of One World Everybody Eats. Denise, you have a concept of community cafe where people can go in and pay whatever price they can afford to eat a good organic food meal. How do people raise the $20,000 to $50,000 necessary to bring this concept to fruition?
There's a variety of ways that people raise the money. I think one of my favorite ways is a really grassroots fundraiser where silent auctions, music, food, raffle tickets, usually an event that's put on like that will raise between $10,000 and $15,000 an event. You know, that's it's fairly large scale, but if you know, a couple hundred people, 200-300 people can do that. But it takes a lot of planning, a lot of buy-in from the community. Also matching funds and pledges from different members of the community, sort of almost like a Kickstarter. When we reach our goal, let's say, of raising $10,000, will you donate your pledge? And also some of the members in the community that usually tend to donate a lot, asking them to match funds. When we raise $10,000, will you match our $10,000? So again, building confidence in the community that this is an organized event that is going to come to fruition, so people don't feel like they're just throwing their money towards something that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's one good way. There's been some cafes where the passionate visionary has had the money, lent the money to the organization or to the nonprofit, and then been reimbursed through a year or so from their investment. But I recommend just really minimizing the risk and raising money as a community.
Now, you've been doing this for at least 13 years. Have you seen an increase in the number of individuals that are attending community cafes?
Well, we've seen an increase in the number of people interested in putting in a community cafe. There's over 35 cafes right now in the U.S., which was close to another 35 to 50 in the planning stages. So we really see that the increase in community cafes are increasing. But I can't really speak to the number of people eating at them.
Okay. Did you see an increase after we went into the recession at all? Do you see any increase in the number of individuals as a result of the recession, or has it been pretty steady in terms of folks going to the cafes? Do you think there's an inflation shift?
I would definitely say there's an increase after, let's say, the crash of 2008. There has been an increase in people that have needed to volunteer and earn a meal or pay a little less, or eat at a community cafe, yes, in order to keep fresh, nutritious food in their diet. And to keep things similar to what they're used to. I would say yes, people have been needing to utilize community cafes more in that way.
Well, how serious a problem is hunger in America?
I would say it's serious, and there's different levels of serious. I mean, I think a lot of people, even on a very, very tight food budget, can get food. But the question is this nutritious food? Is this nutritiously dense or just calorie dense? I think if we were, you know, to break it down, people could just eat pasta and red sauce for maybe $2 a day and serve their whole family, you know? But is that nutritious? And I also think we have a obesity crisis in America, which leads to different diseases and diabetes and so on and so forth. But the reality is, if you're forced to feed yourself or your family on a very small budget, you're going to choose food that is going to put on weight and that really does not have the nutrition. So that's the biggest problem, I think, that we face. I mean, I think most who eat around the perimeters of the grocery store and have the fresh salmon and the fruits and the salad and the organic greens and this and that, but the reality is most people can't afford to do that.
Well, I think it's really intriguing that you offer organic food. Do you think that is a real draw for individuals? Because it's not just nutritious, but that you also try to offer organic food. Do you think that makes this model work more effectively because you are intentionally pulling organic food onto your menu?
Mm-hmm. I think it does. I think a community cafe really needs at least 80% of the people that come to the cafe to be able to pay a fair suggested price, so that, you know, other people can underpay or earn a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the people that are more conscious about food and this concept tend to eat more fresh, local, organic food. It tends to go hand in hand. We suggest this. Not all the community cafes serve organic food, but most serve as much organic and local food as they can, or at least have some consciousness of where the food comes from and providing fresh food and healthy food. So I do think that it does draw a certain crowd.
So you're getting, would you say, middle class, upper middle class folks, as well as people that might be living below poverty level? Is it diverse in terms of the financial status of the individual coming into community cafe?
Mm-hmm. We're getting everybody. And the most people that are food insecure, that for a hand up, this is really a hand up model, and it's about shared responsibility. So it doesn't suit everybody, but single parents, students, newly out of work, people that are chronically less chronic in the system, like aren't necessarily homeless or haven't been in this situation a long time, tend to gravitate first to the community cafe model if there's one in their area, because they want that hand up and they're not used to that handout. Everyone is welcome and everyone does participate, but most people are afraid, oh my gosh, we're just going to be overrun by homeless people. But it doesn't necessarily work that way. Food insecurity is not, is maybe 2% of the people that are food insecure are actually homeless. Again, the food insecure looks like you and it looks like me. It's just that the community cafe is a different option added into the mix for people.
Well, let's talk about the various kinds of options that are available for individuals who are food insecure, as you've defined it. What are other ways that people can get healthy food inexpensively?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think depending on your socioeconomics and your community and your coping skills, there are different coping mechanisms that people do. Of course we have the food kitchen, the food pantry, the dumpster diving. We have people maybe that actually, you know, have a plot of land, maybe growing their own gardens. You have people that are actually putting groceries on credit cards, people that are going to their mothers to eat, people that are going on more dates, people that are going to happy hour bars, you know, that have food. I mean, you wouldn't believe the number of
stories I've heard, and the different coping mechanisms that there are depending on what you're used to and how dire the circumstances become. Most people that are food insecure have a home, they have a car, and they have a job, but they just are having trouble making ends meet, and they're also having trouble eating the type of food that they want, the nutritious food, on the budget that they have for food. If you think about it, you know, the last thing people are going to give up is a roof over their head or their vehicle. But food, you can cut a lot of costs on food and still fill your belly. But again, that's the dilemma we're facing. Is this nutritious? Will it provide a healthy lifestyle and a vigorous lifestyle? May not be the case. And so, learned about providing really healthy, nutritious food.
So are there any other organizations out there doing this, or are you the only one that is providing healthy food inexpensively? That's my question.
Oh, I'm sure there are others. You know, a lot of food pantries and food kitchens these days serve much healthier food than they used to, because
okay.
they're just more mindful about that. So, well, you know, we're just another spoke in the wheel that, you know, that exists. But not to shift gears, but I don't know how much time we have left, but I do want to mention this year, in honor of World Food Day and Food Day USA, we came up with a campaign that we call Share a Meal. And it's very simple. It's dine in, dine out, but don't dine alone. We're encouraging people just to do just that. Dine in, dine out. It doesn't matter, but don't dine alone. So make a pot of chili, invite your neighbors, or invite someone, maybe, you know, friends, or maybe you knew someone in your neighborhood or somehow in your community that's not working right now. Invite them over. It's not a handout. It's just community. So, you know, I'm really excited about the Share a Meal and the different levels that can play out.
Well, that sounds pretty exciting and pretty interesting. And it's always wonderful to be able to share a meal, especially at this time of year when most of us are planning our Thanksgiving meals. It's a great time to invite folks over and say, join us. We've got plenty of food on the table. There's enough to go around.
Exactly. Exactly. And our little tagline is, and a shared meal has half the calories. And I believe it. So that's more incentive to do it.
There you go. Well, we're going to be back in another moment. We're talking with Denise Serrato, and we'll be back to talk about the future of One World Everybody Eats.
Life is all about experiences, right? Maybe you just saw the best movie ever. Maybe your St. Bernard decided to share the couch with you. Maybe your team just won the big game on the final play. Although each experience is unique, they all share one thing. You want to talk about them. Well, now is the perfect time to chat with A Kind Voice. The super friendly folks at A Kind Voice want to hear about your experiences, from everyday stuff like books, movies, music, news, sports, and pets, to big ideas and philosophy. Call 800-876-2399 to talk right now. No worries, it's all free. A Kind Voice just wants you to know they're waiting to talk to awesome people like you. 800-876-2399. A Kind Voice is a nonprofit organization powered by volunteers and doesn't provide professional advice. Call them at 800-876-2399 or go to akindvoice.org for more information.
On the radio with A Kind Voice.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice on Employment, Opportunity, and Innovation. We're talking with Denise Serrato of One World Everybody Eats. Thanks again, Denise, for joining us. We were just interested in finding out where this organization is going from here. What's in the future for One World Everybody Eats?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we really realize that things are snowballing. And just last year, we increased our board of directors probably, you know, by 10 people. So we're really working on putting some structures in place that allow us to play a bigger role in the national and international scene with hunger. So along with our summit, we're continually working on it, providing more public speakers and just making that a bigger event. So we're just growing. We're just expanding. We realize our role is really mentoring people in different communities and providing resources for that. So we just continue to grow.
Well, what are some success stories you'd like to share that you've experienced over the past 10 years in this organization?
Oh, my gosh. My heart is always warm when I get a call from a passionate visionary that either aided a community cafe, heard a radio show, read a magazine, what have you, and realized this is something that I need to do. And so really working with that person and giving them the hands-on material they need to wade through sort of like all the processes and see someone actually opening. I just met with a woman here in Santa Fe, Christy Brown. I met with her exactly a year ago, at here, and she lived in El Paso. She was that passionate visionary. She's like, Denise, I want to do this. I know I'm supposed to do it. I sent her, you know, materials and so on and so forth. Well, this year I got a call from her. She was going to be in Santa Fe, so we met. She's like, Denise, our opening date is December 12th. Can you be there in El Paso? We're actually doing it. We found a space. We're partnering with the church. We're opening for lunch 3 days a week, Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. And, you know, I think I hear that type of success story over and over again. And I think that's the best because, think big, but know how to start small. And network and use your community, and you can really do this. So those people are my heroes.
So who inspires you? What inspires you?
I think, you know, the visionaries now that are opening community cafes and the people that want to get on board with this, they definitely inspire me. They just take my breath away. They're awesome people. And seeing them share information and opening their doors to people that also want to do this and having them come and volunteer in their cafes. And, that's the sort of network that we've tried to cultivate through the years. And we've done it. And so they are truly my inspiration. And our board members who totally donate their time and energy to put on this summit and to keep this concept going. I mean, they are awesome. We just wouldn't be here without them.
That's great. In what ways would you encourage our listeners to become involved in eliminating hunger?
Well, I would really say share a meal. Make a pot of soup, make a pot of chili, make a pound of pasta. Invite someone over. Invite someone from your church, from your neighborhood that you don't know. Invite a single parent and their children. Invite a student. Just open your doors, open your heart, and share a meal because you could really be part of eliminating hunger also in your community just by doing that. And that doesn't take anything. It can happen right now. It can happen tonight. It can happen tomorrow or next week. It can happen every day. And we can, just by all of us doing a little bit, that can change the world.
Awesome, Denise. And so as we begin to close out, I have to ask, are the community cafes open this Thursday on Thanksgiving?
Some will be. You'll have to check on our website, and we have a Google map of all the different cafes and a link to their website. A lot of the community cafes are not open Thanksgiving just because they do this every day of the week, and they families, you know, their employees to be with their families on Thanksgiving Day because there's so many other organizations that step up, you know, on that day once a year. So I would say most of the community cafes will not be open.
Fair enough. And what is that website?
It's One World Everybody Eat. Foundation.org.
That is it. What other information would you like to share with our listeners about your organization before we go?
Well, just that, you know, you can get on our website and get on our Google map and see where there's cafes that are open, maybe in your area, or get on our site for cafes in the planning stages and see if there's any cafes planning that you might want to get involved in. And also, I'd like to just mention again that our summit, if you're thinking about planning a community cafe or just interested in the slightest, is here in Austin, January 18th, 19th, and 20th. Kind of email us and sign up and get some hands-on exposure. Actually, we have something really new, so it'll really give someone a real hands-on experience of doing that in their own community. And that's all.
Awesome. How can anyone get in contact with you personally if they have any further questions?
Well, if you get on our website and go under how to contact, my personal email and phone number are on there, so you can feel free to get in touch with me.
Great. Listen, Denise, it's been wonderful talking to you. You're such an inspiring figure in terms of really helping to eliminate hunger at a local level. Very practical advice you've shared with us this evening about how we can open our doors and our homes to lots of individuals and share a meal. I certainly hope that our listeners will take that away with them. I certainly think that was one thing that I was certainly impressed with. And I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us this evening. We had the privilege, again, of talking with someone who's a game changer, someone who is changing the world and transforming lives at the same time. As we close out, this is Dr. B.M. Mayfield. Thank you for joining us tonight. Next week, we will be joined by Rick I, the LinkedIn guy, actually, and he will be talking with us about ways to use a social network to really be more productive and to really make our businesses work more productively and run smoothly and network effectively. So it ought to be really interesting as we all try to get more adept in the social network arena. So really looking forward to that next week. Again, but we thank Denise Cerita for her joining us today. You can hook up with me, if you'd like, on my Facebook under V.M. Mayfield. I can also be found on Twitter under V. Mayfield. And I can also be linked up with on LinkedIn at, of course, V.M. Mayfield. So I certainly would love to connect with you as well. Again, planning out for tonight, have a wonderful Thanksgiving and invite a friend, share a meal. See you next week, Tuesday. Take care.
Fellow soldier, how's your day? Come take my arm, let's walk and sink away. I want to know your thoughts now, yes it's true. And that blue bird, he flew by now just for you. Join the crowd and sing in harmony. me. Know that I am there for you, to hear your voice, to lend a hand. In this moment we will work together and start a new kind, stranger to a friend. Walk down a lonely road alone, searching for a place to call home. The path is long, we cannot see the end, but the journey's so much better with a friend. Come to my house and rest those weary bones. Drink and laugh, we'll both refill our souls. That cup of cheer you're drinking sure tastes sweet. I'm glad that your acquaintance I did make. Ooh, and you know that I am there for you, to hear your voice, yes, to lend a hand. Moment we were together.